You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm pleased to be with you again. We got a great, great show coming up. So thank you for joining us today. My guest today is New York Times bestselling author Sophie Burnham. Now, Sophie will be here talking with us today about her recently released book, The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom. So it's all about wonderful intuition and trusting your intuition. And we're going to be talking specifically about the animals and some of the encounters that Sophie has had. So I'm excited to have Sophie on board. We'll have her on in a moment. But, you know, The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom, which includes a chapter about her experiences with animal communicators and, you know, explains how animals know everything that we are thinking and feeling. So you got to be careful what you're thinking and feeling. We know that to be true. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about a success story. A lot of times on the show, I'll pull up some interesting articles or facts, things that I think are interesting in the news, but I don't often talk about some of my successes that I've had. You know, as an animal communicator, I work with people to help them solve problems with their pets, whether it's behavior problems, physical problems, emotional problems with their pets. I work with people that have a pet that's in the process of making its transition to passing over or has made that transition to help them deal with the grieving process. But I'd have to say the biggest part of my business is working with lost pets, trying to locate lost pets, get them back home successfully, helping people narrow down that search area so we can bring them back home. And I think I do more of these than anything else. And I have clients around the world. Just within this week, I have clients everywhere from Seattle, Washington to Melbourne, Australia contacted me. So it's been a really fascinating week. But we had a very wonderful success story a few weeks back, and it got some publicity, got out on the PR wires, and it's about a wonderful dog called Daisy May. And the great thing about it is not only is Daisy May back and healthy and fine, but the search that was put together by the rescue organization and all the people in the community was just amazing. It's really how I view a good search should go in order to have the greatest success possible finding these missing pets. Now, Daisy May was in the process of being transported from across state lines, basically, to one rescue organization to another. And the situation where Daisy May got loose was she was getting just to be handed off to the other rescue organization, a group called Furry Friends Network out of Pennsylvania. And during the transition from one automobile to the other, she got loose and went on a little journey. And if you know, this time of year, actually, this happened a couple weeks ago, very snowy, very cold in Pennsylvania. And this is really Daisy May's first experience with this type of weather and being out on her own. Fortunately, the folks at Furry Friends Network got a hold of me early on, and I helped work with them to help locate where Daisy May was. We identified some of the scenery and some of the surroundings where she was. We knew that she was outside moving around, but she was moving around a little too frequently. So my role as an animal communicator was to not only try to narrow down the location of where Daisy May was located at, but also try to convince her to either come back to where she started from or to trust people to help her out and allow them to give her assistance. And the amazing thing about it with Daisy May, you know, she is a very skittish dog, not used to being around a lot of people. So trying to convince her to stay put in one location, you know, seemed to be a challenge. But she was a very good dog. She listened to everything I had to say. The folks at Furry Friends Network teamed up with the local turnpike workers around the area to sort of locate where she was. They took my guidance to the exact location where she was. They showed up, and not only was Daisy May staying put, she allowed everybody to come and greet her, give her food, put a leash on her, and get her back to the rescue organization so they could continue their journey. And now Daisy May's in a foster home waiting to be adopted. So if you're interested in hearing more about Daisy May's story, you can obviously go to my website. You can go to the Animal Rights tab on Pet Life Radio. We'll have a blog on there as well. And then, of course, that'll lead you over to my website as well. You can read more about the story. But big kudos, Daisy May's back home, safe and sound. I want to thank the folks at Furry Friends Networks for contacting me and allowing me to be part of it. And big kudos to that group for listening to everything I had to say, taking action, getting all the people involved, not only within their organization, but also around the community. Thank you to the Turnpike workers up there as well for helping out. So big kudos, Daisy May. And if you're interested in a 7-year-old German Shepherd mix, check out Furry Friends Network. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. So little happy story. We love happy endings around here. here on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to cut for a commercial break, but we're going to be right back with Sophie Burnham right after these messages.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-866-5784. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-866-5784. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-866-5784. That's 1-800-866-5784.
That's it. You're madder than a junkyard dog, and you're not going to take it anymore. Your feathers are ruffled, your dander is up, and you've got a definite bone to pick. Join us each week on Pet Peeves, the show that lets you dig through the dirt and unleash your passion for pets. Your host, pet expert and award-winning author, Amy Shojai, will talk about what makes you howl and what hisses you off. Pet Peeves, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me now. And my guest today is best-selling author Sophie Burnham, as she recently released her latest book, The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom. Sophie, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. You know, I was excited to get your book and read through it because, you know, you're covering all aspects of the art of intuition. And, of course, my bailiwick is with animals. But share with us a little bit about how this book came about. What caused you to write a book like this?
What an interesting question. First of all, I wasn't intending to write a book about intuition. I was considering a book about quite another matter. I am most known for writing about spiritual matters, and most particularly about angels, people who have seen angels and had encounters with angels. Mm-hmm. And I had a very celebrated book that came out 20 years ago and is being republished soon.
That's great.
So in the course of thinking about angels, I proposed a similar type thing, and the publisher then said, oh, what a great idea. It should be about intuition, which was not what I had been thinking about at all, but turns out to be so fascinating. I was just entranced in writing this book, and animal communication is a part of it. I have a very wide definition of intuition, one that goes from a little hunch or the gut feeling to premonitions and precognitions and clairvoyance and animal communications and the psychic spying that the military was doing during the Cold War, and mm-hmm. all we know they're doing still. And the fact that everybody can do these things is what delights me. It is our heritage, and we don't believe how much power we actually have. So that's my quick thing about that. I have a question for you about the story you just told about Daisy May.
Sure.
Who was it who got in touch with you when she was lost?
There's an animal rescue group, a no-kill rescue group out of Pennsylvania called Furry Friends Network. And you can go on to Furry Friends Network, and they contact.
They knew you.
Yeah, I've got
in Melbourne, Australia, got you off of the internet.
Got and some other people that she knew. So, I've become quite well known for my work with missing pets and locating them. I obviously do that as part of my business, as well as I donate a lot of my time to rescue organizations when they have a missing pet that comes up. And we've had a great deal of success. We've had some national articles, national recognition in that area. So, I've got clients from, you name it. They're all over the place. I can think into Hong Kong, and we've worked with missing cats in India, and we've worked with dogs in Ireland and Mexico
City. And when you do it, you go into a slightly altered state and talk to the animal, call up the animal, I presume?
Yeah, I have a gift to be able to connect with the animal. I usually will have a picture of the animal, and I ask them if I could connect with them to receive whatever information they're willing to share. And they'll share with me words, colors, feelings, pictures, emotions, tastes, smells, whatever they're wanting to share with me, and how they wish to share it with me is what they do. And so we take a combination of, for the missing pets, we take a combination of connecting with the animal to try to get as much information as we can from them, whether they're inside, outside, how are they doing physically, mentally, whether your surroundings look like, et cetera. And then we couple that with a technique which is called map dowsing, which is using the pendulum and a map to try to narrow down the energy signature of that animal and try to get as close as we can to where the animal's energy is resonating from. And then we'll take those two bits of information and provide some guidance to the human companion of the animal to let them know what the animal's sharing with us, how it's doing, give them areas to focus their search. And occasionally we will get the animal to come back, get them to come back. We actually had a case like that this past week where we got to come right back to the back door after 3 days of being on a venture out there. So it's,
well, I'm not the least bit surprised. In The Art of Intuition, I have a whole chapter on animal intuitives. And I open it actually talking about how when I was a child we had dozens of animals and it never occurred to me to talk to them. But then during my life, I have occasionally heard them speak to me. Sometimes actually, once my dog spoke to me in English, which was really startling. But usually it's what you're talking about in pictures. And I think that it's a natural outform, if I could call it, of intuition, the hunch, the premonition. The same intuition that tells you that you don't want to get on this plane and then that plane crashes. I have a wonderful story in The Art of Intuition, in fact, of a friend of mine whose mother was engaged to be married to a man who did motorcycle racing. And he wanted to do a last race. Very dangerous, these gravel, dirt road motorcycle races. So she said, okay, you do that, and I'm going to go on a cruise, and then we'll get married, and you're going to give up this sport. He agreed, but a few weeks beforehand, she had such horrible premonitions that she canceled her cruise, and she had her fiancé cancel his race. He gave the bike, loaned the bike to a friend of his to race in the race, and that friend was killed. And the boat, the ship that she was going on the cruise on, sank.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have these premonitions all the time. And the question is, for me, what is intuition and where in the brain does it lie? And who has it and how do you get more?
Yeah, those are great, great questions. What I tell people, whether I'm teaching a class or doing a talk somewhere or doing a consultation, I tried to break it down to the very simplistic form. Because if you start talking about, you mentioned earlier, using that gut feeling. Well, if you use that terminology, gut feeling, well, everybody's had a gut feeling. They're comfortable with that terminology. What they don't know is the gut feeling, it's your solar plexus chakra, and that's where your state of knowing and your state of trust lies. Now, for people that are very spiritual, on their metaphysical path, have studied these things for a while, they can accept that. They know what chakras are. They know what color they vibrate. They know that all your chakras have to be aligned and the energy has to be flowing smoothly for you to receive and send information. But to Joe Smith, who's not used to that type of terminology, we have to go back to using the gut, you know, the gut reaction or a gut feeling in order for them to be able to understand it. But, you know, we're all born with it. We're all born with that intuition. That's when we hear a mother's intuition, and mother's intuition doesn't scare anybody because we're familiar with that. Mothers have this special instinct to be able to know what their little child is trying to tell them. In reality, that's really a telepathic connection between the mother and the child. The child doesn't know how to communicate.
More than that. Let me interrupt you just a minute.
Yeah.
And tell you that this mother's intuition can go well beyond telepathy with a child. Again, in this book of mine, The Art of Intuition, I tell the story of a mother who dreamed that a chandelier was falling on top of her baby's crib. And the dream was so horrifying that she woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. Her husband saying, it was just a dream, go back to sleep. But she went and got the baby and brought it into bed with them. And then an hour or so later, they heard a great crash as the chandelier fell on the crib, right where the baby would have been, would have killed it.
Exactly.
Now, that's not mental telepathy. That's something probing, feeling the future, as it were. And then that leads to many other questions like, is there fate? Is there a future if you can change it? is there predestination? Imaginable, unimaginable questions.
Absolutely.
The animal communicating part is really important because one thing I discovered in The Art of Intuition was also about alpha waves and brain waves and which brain waves you're using when you have intuition. How animals throw us into the alpha, theta brain waves, and that's part of why they're so important to us. They calm us down that way. And in those brainwave patterns, we hear them. You'll hear the mood that your cat or horse or dog is having.
Exactly. You know, and I think the biggest part of what I tell people is when you hear these things, whether it's hear words, you get pictures, feelings, whatever it may be, the most important thing for us humans to do is trust that information we're receiving, trust it as being true and real, and act upon it. You know, follow your guidance.
That is the real thing. You're absolutely right. People say, I have no intuition, but what they mean is, I don't trust my intuition, or I don't know where in my body it comes. I haven't listened to my body enough to know that this prickling in the back of my neck means something.
Absolutely.
And it means, don't take another step, you'll step on a snake.
Exactly right. And the snake is telling you, don't take another step. I don't want you to step on me.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, listen, we're coming up to a break here, but I want everybody to stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Sophie Burnham and talk about the art of intuition. And I want to talk to you when we come back from commercial break about your dog, Puck, and the first experience you had in communicating.
Okay.
So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio. .com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're here with Sophie Burnham, New York Times bestselling author, and she's got her latest book out, The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom. Now, Sophie, before the break, I gave a little highlight about your dog, Puck, and the first time that you heard him speak. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
I was having a very bad time. My dog was a little corgi, and he has passed over now. But he and I were deeply bonded. And I was having a difficult time, and so we went for a walk. I live in Washington, D.C., and we went out to Great Falls of the Potomac. I remember that I just sat on a rock and watched the water spill over the rock for perhaps 20 or 30 minutes, allowing my mind to drift and not have any thoughts at all. Mm-hmm. After a time, I got up, and I started walking along over the rocks, big rocks, and all of a sudden, behind me, I heard this voice cry out, "Wait, wait for me, come back." And I was so startled, I didn't recognize the voice as being someone I knew.
Right.
But it was in English, and I turned around, and here was my little dog, not a soul around us, by the way. There's not a single soul there except for myself and my dog, and his little head and his little pricked ears, peering over this huge rock, and he couldn't get over it with his tiny little short legs. And I went back and lifted him over the rock, and I kept thinking, how could it be that I heard his call as an external voice in English speaking to me? I know of other occasions where people have had an intuition as an external voice, but it is so sharp that it comes like the voice of an angel in your ear. But it's very rare and dramatic. And in any other instances with my animals, my communication has been more interior and, as you say, more subtle and more easily disbelieved or ignored or negated.
Exactly.
Denied. Because yeah. You think, oh, I can't really be hearing what you're saying.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting because my wife, Kim, and I, when we got your book, we were reading through it and talking about it, and she asked me about that. You know, I've been doing this for years. Keep this in mind. I've been doing this for years, being an animal communicator and doing it full time for quite some time. And she asked me after all these years, do you actually hear the voices outside of your body? Do you actually hear them like they're sitting next to you? And my answer was, yeah, I thought you knew that. I thought that's the way everybody heard it. So, you know, not only will they share with me colors and feelings, pictures, words, the internal stuff, but, you know, I can actually have a sit down conversation as if we were two buddies sitting on a park bench talking about the weather. And
no,
so,
kidding.
Yeah, so it's got to that point. You know, early days when this happened, I'm sure it was, you know, my situation was like yours. You're like, okay, that's pretty cool, but what is that? What in the world am I going to do with this? How is this actually happening? And, you know, like we said before break, you have to go back to the fact that you just, whatever form they're communicating with you, that's the form they feel most comfortable with communicating with you and the way they think that they're going to be able to get through to you and actually let you, have you listen to them. And sometimes that is actually speaking words in English. And I get asked sometimes, do Chihuahuas speak in Spanish? And I tell people, only if that's the way that you need to hear them in order for them to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. How interesting.
Yes.
There's the other story of my cat, Ishii, was given to me by my daughter.
Right.
And when she came to me, he came to me. He was a beautiful, big black cat. He was panicked, and he hated me, and he hated this new place where he found himself. And I went to an animal communicator. I tell this story also in The Art of Intuition. I went to the animal communicator who said, when he was a little kitten, he was owned by two girls who tried to drug him and poison him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he finds himself here, and he's really scared. I thought, this is nutty. He was my daughter's cat from the moment that he was born. And there were no two young girls who tried to poison him. Later, it took about a week for him to calm down. And then one day, he came to me and he put his head in the palm of my hand in a form of such surrender, such submission. I was deeply touched. And when he did that, I suddenly realized, oh, my daughter and I were the two young girls. We're not young at all. My daughter is 40. I'm so old, you don't even can't imagine anyone living this long. And the drug that we had given him was the tranquilizer for him to fly on the plane.
Ah.
So in his story, it was true. It was just a little garbled, and he turned into, oh, God, he was the most wonderful, wonderful cat. But, boy, when I first got him, I thought he was a panther. I thought he was a maniac. I wasn't at least bit certain that I would be able to keep him.
Well, you know, I think in that story, you know, it is the animal's perspective of what actually happened to them. And so I'm always very careful with clients to let them know that, you know, I'm a firm believer in talking to your pets, talking to them verbally as well as visualizing what you're wanting them to understand. And so I always make sure that when you're going to be doing something for your pet or to your pet, in this case, to let them know what that situation is and what they need to do about it. And most importantly, why is it going to be a good thing for them? Why is it going to be okay? Because if you simply don't do that and you just give them a...
I can tell just from your tone of voice, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And you also, when you say words out loud, you visualize them. Whether you consciously do this or subconsciously, the visualization comes out, and that's how the animals best react and connect to you when they understand and see that and feel that energy, see that visualization coming out.
Tim, I have to tell you this. I have a horse. I have the most beautiful half-hour horse, and I'm just madly in love with her. And she loves me. And the other day, I printed out a lot of quotations about horses, including from the Book of Job, mm-hmm. and that wonderful one from one of the Shakespeare plays that speaks of the horse stamping his foot on the receding earth. And then there are a couple of the just fantastic ones from the Quran. And I took these out to her and I read them to her. What it was for the thunder that is in her neck. And I tell you, my horse lifted her head and she's looking around and you could just see her becoming so proud of herself.
That's right.
That's what it is. There's one of them where it says, when God took a bit of the south wind and breathed it in and it became the horse. It's so beautiful.
Brilliant.
And the horse really got it, just what you're saying. I'm not sure that she knew the words, but she certainly felt the admiration and adoration that I had for her.
Absolutely, because she felt your positive energy, how you enjoyed that, so she had to enjoy it. And
yeah, of course, the people at the stable think I'm nuts.
But I'm assuming you get positive responses.
I'm a flake.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, if you're uncomfortable with this, that's okay. Just have fun with it, because believe me, men, for instance, are the biggest skeptics of the world, admittedly. You know, I'm a guy, but, you know, every husband, every partner I ever talk to, 9 times out of 10, they're skeptical. But once they try it and they see it work and they see the reaction and we solve the problems of the animals, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, mm-hmm. It doesn't take them long to realize that, hey, I may not fully understand this, or I may not even totally believe it, but it works. So, gosh darn it, I'm going to continue to do it.
They've done studies of intuition, which I talk about in The Art of Intuition also. Some of these studies are fantastic. One of the studies, they put men and women, ordinary people, not psychics, in before a computer with various images coming up randomly on a computer. And they have determined that a man can anticipate, well, a man will have no physiological response whatsoever to the neutral pictures or the violent pictures, but he will anticipate an erotic picture by 3 seconds. And women will anticipate by 3 seconds both an erotic and the violent images. It is clear that women have more intuition than men.
Yes.
But I have never met a successful businessman who did not use his intuition.
Absolutely.
Or for that matter, a successful man who did not use his intuition. And who didn't know, particularly the gut. You had talked about the gut earlier. The gut seems to be where men get it most.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other people might have it in the mind or the external voice or the hair rising on their arm or just waking up from a dream or a knowing. Mm-hmm. I won't make any decisions now unless it's made by intuition.
There you go.
I will not use my intellect because it is always wrong.
That's a good point. So you've learned a lot by writing this book that you never anticipated writing. What do you hope the readers get from the book?
Oh, what a wonderful question, Tim. First, I hope that the readers who read The Art of Intuition come away joyful. It's a joyful book because what we're talking about are abilities that everybody already has and that they may not have thought could be developed. Perhaps some of your listeners don't know that they too can be animal communicators, or they too can have a psychic experience, or they too can decide that they will not take the plane because they have a feeling. And I have a great many exercises in the book on how to invite intuition, including using the pendulum that you talked about,
dowsing,
looking for water. These are innate gifts. I have to say I don't like the title of The Art of Intuition because it's not an art. It's a natural component of our physical bodies. But there is an art to learning that we have it and learning to trust it and then learning to act upon it.
There you go.
Many people will get an intuition and then they will simply deny it and won't act upon it. But the more you act on the intuition, the more intuitions come to you.
Absolutely.
There's some high spiritual energy. And I think that you, with your animal work, must be doing very evolved spiritual work. It requires that.
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. I think it goes hand in hand in trusting that everything that you receive, opening yourself up, opening your heart, opening up your mind to the ability to do the work. Go back to the basics of learning that you have intuition. Everybody has it. Now just go out and use it and trust it and act upon it.
You've just used an important word there. Can I say something about
your
heart?
Sure.
There is a man named Rolly McCarty that I talk about in The Art of Intuition, and he is a parapsychologist, and he has discovered that the heart has a brain, and that intuition is picked up with the heart, and the information is then transmitted to your mind, to your brain, and then you decide if you will act upon it or not. But the first signal comes to the heart, and it is involved in loving. And that's what I want people to do when they read my book. I want them to know how deeply they are loved and how safe it is for them to love. I believe that intuition travels, if you will, on ribbons of love. Mental telepathy certainly does. You mentioned the mother's intuition. It certainly is on on love, or the love that you're feeling for the animals you're trying to locate in. And we just need more love in this world.
You got that right.
Any newspaper and you're ready to slit your wrists. It's so awful.
Well, I think it's a brilliant message. I think it is truly wonderful. It's a great book. It's The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom by Sophie Burnham. You can check out Sophie's site by going to sophieburnham.com, S-O-P-H-Y-B-U-R-N-H-A-M.com. Of course, you can go to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're going to have all the information, all the links there. We'll have a link there to go purchase your copy of the book. Read it, find your intuition, trust it, and you won't be sorry. And it's a great read. So, Sophie, we want to thank you for joining us today on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. It was a pleasure.
It's been an honor for me. Thank you so much, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great.
It's really applauded.
Thank you so much. So, Sophie Burnham, talking about The Art of Intuition, Celebrating Your Inner Wisdom. So, everybody go pick up a copy of the book. So, we're coming to the end of the show today. So, I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. And once again, thanks, Sophie Burnham, for joining us today. And thank you to our sponsors. Yeah, there you go. Go buy a copy. So thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to the producer for putting on a fabulous show again today. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other guests that I've interviewed on the Animal Rights Show on Pet Life Radio, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on the Animal Rights icon to download the shows, listen to some of the shows. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the other hosts and shows on Pet Life Radio as well. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, or just want to tell me how great of a job I'm doing, go ahead and email me. Email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions and entertain your comments and see if there's some people on the show that you'd like to hear. We'll do our best to get them on. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.